Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, The Rescuers, a 1977 animated film directed by Wolfgang Reitman, John Lansbury, and Art Stevens, and The Rescuers Down Under, directed by Handel Batoy and Mike Gabriel. Michelle, this was your pick. Why are we watching these rodents?
There's nothing wrong with watching rodents. Well, I don't know. It felt like something nice. And we haven't really done any Disney.
That's true.
We've done animated, but not Disney.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think we've done Disney.
The most interesting part of The Rescuers and the sequel is that the sequel is the first Disney sequel that they did.
No way.
Ever. Yeah, and it's so interesting to see, like, of all the IPs they've done up to this point, in 1990, they decided, okay, this is the one. 13 years later.
I guess. Wasn't that when Disney was having the whole crisis?
Yes, because that's when the Pocahontas sequels and the Little Mermaid sequels and the Lion King sequels.
The Little Mermaid hadn't come out yet.
Really? When did the Little Mermaid come out?
Oh, wait, no, that's 89.
No, it already came out, yeah.
What was the...
Lion King?
Lion King was the... when?
94.
And Lion King 2 came out
in like 2000.
No, 1998. Sorry, really? not 2000, not 2019. Who has seen that? Okay.
You know that the second Lion King is
Romeo and Juliet?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I remember it pretty well. It's like,
yeah, the first one's Hamlet, and then the third one is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Because it's just about Timon and Pumbaa.
Yes,
oh,
I remember that.
I've seen the third one.
I remember
one,
not liking,
yeah.
I don't like them, so I never watched the third
what
movie.
What's wrong with Timon and
I've
Pumbaa?
I've seen the first
one. I never liked those sidekick characters, even as a kid.
You haven't seen the second one, you said?
No,
the second
I
one's
seen
for the best music, I think.
Really?
Really?
I remember liking one song, so that's what that's based on.
I've seen the Aladdin sequel. Did you know there was an Aladdin sequel?
Yeah.
There's an Aladdin sequel?
I think I've seen it.
Yeah.
Too.
Does he become poor again? Is that what happens?
Actually, I don't remember. But I know they saw it. Yeah.
But back to The Rescuers. Mm-hmm. First of all, this movie is extremely racist towards Southern people from Southern United States.
Is it?
The stereotypes that they put out in the there's literally a Confederate soldier mouse.
Oh.
Like, that was crazy.
Yeah, but are
they
being
that.
Racist
really,
to
yeah,
them?
It's more accurate than anything. If
it's
we,
more, I
if
suppose that's
see.
More
yeah.
accurate.
And, like, if it is racist to them, does it matter? Because are they really
good? Oh, they're all just chugging. They can't all just be chugging moonshine and talking as if, like, they never graduated primary
yeah,
school.
But if they're supposed to be Confederate.
That's
right,
why
but...
they elected Trump. Because we're doing
that's
all
why
that.
They
the liberals.
Because of the
that.
Rescuers.
Yeah.
He's back on Twitter, by the way. I can't
Yay.
So what do you guys think? Michelle, did you like it after revisiting it? The childhood gem?
How does it compare to that?
Well, I thought I liked the second one more as a child, but actually I didn't. I just remembered the animal bits in the second one. And I think I preferred the first one. And it's more of like high stakes and it's like, oh my God, the things... pushing the leaf around and
yeah,
there's more going on.
I like both of them. I watched the second one a lot more as a kid because it was on TV, and I was very happy to be reunited with that awesome car, that truck thing that they drove in that Mad Max looking car. That's the only thing I remember, and I'm very happy to be reunited. They look really cool.
I never got to see these as a kid. That's interesting. You guys got these. I didn't even know this existed.
This is like always on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the animal Disney ones I watched. They were my favorite.
I love the little details in terms of the mouse's world.
Yeah, like the when they're in the UN building, the boxes are the like match boxes is their tables and they're branded.
Like these little details I really, really liked. And I love the old styled Disney animation. The backgrounds,
so
beautifully
so
drawn. So
this is technically new to Disney. So I was reading it. So they use xerography, as in Xerox, for the first time, I think, with this film. So that's why it's more, like, smoother.
Right.
But that's, like, how, if you go back to, like, Bambi, all of that is very, like, watercolor-esque.
Yes.
So it looks like it's going back to that, but it's actually new because it's just Xerox.
And the sequel is like the first implementation of like fully digital
So the entire thing is created. Yeah, so you can tell, we can tell, right? Because they start really blending the 3D models. Because you can just compare the two sequences where the albatross flies down into New York. Because in the first one, it's all they had to do. They literally had to just enlarge a picture to kind of mimic that effect. But in the sequel, it's just a full 3D model. You can see the cityscape. It's interesting to see the leap in technology between the two films. Amazingly, they kept the same cast for the two mice.
Yeah. And the Bianca sounded so much like Audrey Hepburn.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's what they were going for with the girl mice. But Yusuf, what did you think these kitty films?
I like them. In a nostalgic sort of way. Like it's it's sort of, you know, just reminds me of the childhood I had of watching these like. All the Disney movies like Little Mermaid and Jungle Book and all of that stuff. Because they kind of have the same look. Despite, yeah, I know the Xerox thing, but I get what you mean, Arvin. Like, it looks like the 101 Dalmatians and everything.
Exactly. I love the backdrops. Yeah. The way they drew the buildings, like, even, like, little... Mm-hmm. Every background in this, in the first one, I loved. It's so beautiful to me. And because you can see the hand... The etches, right? Where they drew this, and they drew everything. It's something that I feel like it's missing from. I know it's still like work of art now, even in 3D animation. But I just love the idea of so tactile and human, compared to I don't know what Pixar is doing now.
But this is actually because the 60s and 70s was very like sketchy style.
Mm.
Like if you've seen the Aristocats, it's very sketchy. But this is starting to move away from that with the Xerox stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you can still see some of it. There's a very early documentary, I think, of the process of how they made like the animations from like, I want to say when they're making Bambi. Mm-hmm. And they explain like the layered process of each individual. Like the tree is a layer, the grass is a layer, the sky is a layer. And they just all layered on top and then like moving the thing around. It's really cool. Watch, which I don't know the name of it, so that's right. Helpful.
But you can tell when they start using, because Disney, they always use like real references. So the movements of the little girl, for example, in their first one, I feel like they actually just got a child to like do a lot of the movements, because it's so like,
yeah, when she's holding the cat.
Yeah, when she's holding the cat, that felt like a real child holding a cat. I thought that was really, really adorable. And I love. The funny part about the second one is, for a film set in Australia, it's so funny. There's only like one distinctly Australian character. Why is the villain American? Why is the kid American? That makes no sense. They're in Australia. They're in the outback. Whatever. But yeah, it's fun.
So apparently, the original villain for the Rescuers was supposed to be Cruella De Vil.
Oh.
And then they just dropped that because.
Is it just supposed to be like a little crossover?
I guess. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. I mean, that would it's basically kind of the same character. She's just a mean lady with very scary eyes. I love the way they drew eyes. It actually does look freaky. I can see that scaring me as a child. And the alligators. I suppose alligators are like the central reoccurring motif in both of these as antagonists. Scares kids.
I loved it on the poster. It just says mystery, fun, intrigue. That's going to sell it to a kid, isn't it?
What's intrigue, Mom? It means when you're curious about something. Okay. The music in the first one, so 70s, even the very first song, now they have like, they put in pop songs and stuff like that, but they put in something that sounds like it comes from like the Carpenters halfway through the movie in the first one. I was like, that's so cute and very much off the time. Oh, that's John Candy in the second one, by the way, as the albatross.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I recognized him. I was like, oh, cool. R.I.P. And also it goes to, it's a fun thing that kids' movies do where they have, for a movie that is barely under 90 minutes, for the second one especially, there are scenes where you're like, oh, this is just for kids to look to, I guess, laugh at. Mm-hmm. There are extended sequences of just hijinks that don't progress the story in any meaningful way. Like the scene when, I guess, one of the lizards trying to get the key. That goes on for like 5 minutes and has nothing to do with the plot. But I guess it's just for the kids to kind of pace, to keep them interested.
All right. Well, in that case, shall we take a break?
No, I have something.
Oh, something. Oh, you have something to add? What is it?
Yeah. So it was the biggest success for Disney since The Jungle Book.
The first one?
Yeah.
No.
And it's like the first successful film that they made that Walt Disney wasn't working on.
Oh, really?
Cause like, yeah, because I think when he ended, they had a lot of, they weren't very successful films.
Mm-hmm.
Then without him, cause I guess he died. I don't know, or he just retired.
Yeah.
I think he died. He doesn't strike me as a guy who would retire and leave the
empire.
Yeah,
he's like a war tool.
Yeah.
He will work till it's over. He died in 66, so yeah, he's dead. Yeah, by then.
I always remember people at school telling me that he was
frozen
and he's gonna,
It's so weird that some myths are just universal. Like, I heard the same thing at school.
What's the point of freezing him? What does he have
so
to
do? So he can come back to life and they have the technology to refreeze him.
What is he gonna? What has he possibly have to offer to the
more Disney films?
Or,
like, all right, Walt, we need to start working on these IPs now. 2020.
He come back and be like, work. "What's a Star Wars?" Give me a cigarette, honey.
Oh, that's all we do now, Walt. That's all we do. You go.
And he'd be very like anti-Semitic and sexist. Like, oh, he was frozen for a while. We'll take it up with HR later.
He gets
later.
Cancelled immediately.
He gets cancelled. All right. Shall we take a break? Okay.
Yeah.
Seven reels, everybody. Let's rate them up.
Good. 5 to original, 2 to Down Under.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's fair. I'll give 4 to the original and 3 to Down Under. I kind of liked how they tried their, where they lacked in story and originality, they try to make up for in the animation department. And I like some of the tricks that they pulled, so I would give it one more star. All right. Okay, well, that brings us to what we have watched this week. Yusuf, what have you watched this week?
I actually didn't get a chance to watch a lot of stuff. I watched half of this Asayas movie, Summer Hours, and it's about a very, very rich lady trying to give her son her like collection of art and pottery, and he's like, no, we gotta keep them, and she's like, it's just gonna collect dust, so it's all problems I really can't relate to, but it's like she has like a bunch of like really valuable Michelle, you might actually enjoy this because the you probably know who the artists are they're talking about. But yeah, it's not bad. I watched half of it, so maybe if I finish it, I'll get better. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. We watched The Menu with Ralph Fiennes, Nicholas Hoult, Anya Taylor-Joy. This is all right. The trailers destroyed this movie.
Yeah, every good bit was already in the trailer.
Yeah, it's one of those
There was
situations.
No mystery, whereas the mystery would have really improved the film a lot.
Do you think if I watch it without watching trailers or knowing anything about it, because I didn't know this movie existed, I would like it?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to
Although I don't know how much of like these, the it's because it's a meta film, right? It's one of those films about like about artsy, making fun of, breaking down artsy movies, or I think it's more pointed towards deconstructing those A24 new wave horror films.
But I don't think it does it overly
It doesn't exactly, and the problem is that if you're going to be try to be the smart person's like deconstruction, your script's got to hold up, and unfortunately, it doesn't.
I think it's a fun like first time experience, but then as soon as you leave the cinema, you're like,
why did they do that? It's like, why did that happen? That doesn't add up. So yeah, unfortunately, but and again, the best jokes are ruined in the trailer.
So don't watch the trailer.
So don't watch the trailer.
Avoid the trailer, okay.
And we also watched a new Alejandro Iñárritu film called Bardo, False Chronicles of a Handful of Truths. That's the full title.
Mm-hmm.
Birdman 2, and what's of this year in directors making movies about themselves? Like Spielberg, this is his Fablemans.
And
this is his version of it.
Armageddon Time.
James Gray and Sam Mendes doing like Empire of Light. It's all these movies about why we love movies. But this one feels a bit more honest.
COVID made people sit in a room and be like, that, oh my yeah. childhood.
Yeah, that totally
honestly,
makes
I
sense.
Think so.
I think so too. They're like, what?
This is Birdman 2.
Uh-huh.
But not a good.
I liked it. I know Michelle, you found it boring and bad, but I
get why he was doing it and what he was saying, but mm-hmm. I just thought it didn't. It felt like it was trying to be very funny and quirky, but no one in the cinema laughed.
I did.
Like once, but a lot of the times it was like you could tell this is supposed to be funny, but no
yes.
one is laughing right now, and. It's very weird. It just seems like too drawn out, and like I don't even know what it was saying beyond like the 2 points it was trying to say.
Well, it's for once very, very personal. And it's interesting to watch a director kind of break down his own work. And there's like he allows room for self-introspection and criticism. But at the same time, he tries to make a case as to why he wants to do things why he makes movies the way he wants to make them.
Mm.
And he doesn't try to fully justify it to the audience. He just wants to try and lay himself out for us to make up our own minds about him and what he does. It's probably the most beautiful film of this year. He reaches like Terrence Malick levels. It's like Tree of Life.
I disagree.
Of visual, of just pure technical prowess.
I love Tree of Life.
If you love Tree of Life, you might get something out of this.
Okay.
And the
but I like Tree of Life, and I didn't get much out of it.
I think the best things are the non Fellini parts, because he's also very Fellini in terms of how dreamlike it is. But the parts
but
I like the most.
The best parts were just this very simple composition.
Yes, I agree. Yeah.
And there wasn't many of them.
Oh, that too. Because there's a sequence where he's talking to his son, and his son's like, well, if you love Mexico so much, why did you bring me and my sister to L.A.? Why did we grow up there? And they make a point that the son only really is comfortable speaking in English as opposed to Spanish. He kind of nailed it. There's this point of like trying to like, well, the diaspora of like being from somewhere and trying and getting international acclaim. But what does that really mean about like, did you abandon where you were from? Does where you were from even mean anything? And yeah, it's I got a lot from it. I think it's really I might watch it again. Like it's the point where I am actively looking forward to watching it when it comes out on Netflix. But yeah, that's kind of what we watched this week.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings us to our recommendations. Michelle, you said you have one locked in already.
I do. It's Basil the Great Mouse Detective.
Never heard of it. What is it?
It's a Disney one. It's just about this mouse in London who, I think he searches for the crown jewels that have been stolen.
Oh, I know
Sherlock
this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like Sherlock-esque kind of
yeah.
stuff.
Ah, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a watch.
I know
oh, you said we watched Aristocats, and it was so racist that Disney included a disclaimer beforehand. It's like, hey, guys. This
yeah.
And I was like, oh, when's going to happen? And when it happened, we were shocked. there's different types of cats, right? So at one point, they're like, let's go to the ghetto. And we're like, oh, no. And we expect like the jazz cat to be like the most racist, but no, it was pretty racist.
There's
but then the Chinese cat showed
oh
up.
Oh my god! Oh,
with the teeth and the eyes and the accent. Oh my god, it was so funny. It's insane.
Yeah, it was just saying like Fu Yong.
Yeah, no, it's
Hong
just
Kong.
It just rattled
Shanghai.
Off. Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. I could not believe they did that. It felt that was funny because it was kind of funny, but it's just in a horrifying way. My recommendation: Stuart Little.
Mm-hmm.
I like Stuart Little. I don't like how they made the antagonist a cat because it kind of looks like the cat my parents have now.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel a little bit hurt. But yeah, that's my recommendation. Yusuf, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is my favorite one of these movies is The Jungle Book. I think the songs in The Jungle Book are like next level. Like all the other movies, they're good. You can sing the mermaid songs and the Lion King songs, fine. But The Jungle Book, the songs are actually like, you know, jazzy and kind of, you could,
and fun.
Yeah, if you play them with no context in like this vacuum, I think they someone would be like, whoa.
This still holds up.
That's like a cool jazz album.
Yeah. Does it help? It's because like the story is so different from like the traditional fair of like princesses. It doesn't have that structure. So,
it's not
like,
always princess. If you look at this, there's a lot of animal related ones.
They did Robin Hood, which I haven't,
yeah,
haven't
Robin
seen.
Robin Hood,
any
they're all
those
animals. Fox and the Hound.
Mm.
There's, what else is there?
Oh,
Oliver and Company. Which is just Oliver, but with cats and dogs. Cat.
They just took a bunch of classics and were like, what if it was a cat?
What if it was a cat? What if Robin Hood was a fox? Oh, shit, dude.
What if Hamlet was a big cat?
What if Hamlet was a big cat?
He
exactly.
Just kept pitching it over and over.
All right. I kind of want to go back and revisit Jungle Book. Because my latest memory is still the live action adaptation, which
didn't even go see.
Was not.
No.
It was okay. It was okay.
It's not the original. It's,
what? Ruin.
It's not nowhere near as good as the original.
No,
it would ruin something very special for me.
Because then he went on to ruin The Lion King with So the Jungle Book was
the
like John Favreau's.
The Lion King to me is just fine. Do whatever you want.
No. The Lion King was my
oh, it's your version.
Really?
Okay.
I used to roll with the lions at the end.
That's so cute. That's it.
Did that annoy your mother?
She just heard it from the back all the time.
All right. Well, that brings us to what we will be watching next week. Yusuf, what will we be watching next week?
We will be watching two Steve McQueens. Watch Bullet and The Getaway. So The King of Cool, Steve
the
McQueen.
The King of Cool. I'm hoping that the Bullet car chase will hold up to everything. What is everything? Okay. I've been hearing so much about it, never got to it.
Bullet's one of those movies where I guess we'll talk about it next week. But
we'll talk about it. Okay. I'm very, very excited.
All right.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Stay safe, everybody. And as always, keep it real.
Bye.
The 7th Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf El-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lin. And our outro music is composed by Yahya El-Bashir. Thanks for listening.